Welcome to the next edition of Fixed Interest, where we will be discussing Argentina. My name is Shelley Shetty, and I'm a Managing Director and Head of Americas and Asia Sovereign Ratings at Fitch. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Todd Martinez, who is the Co-Head of the Americas and also the Primary Analyst for Argentina. Now, by background, Argentina is currently rated double C. It is the lowest rated sovereign in Latin America at Fitch. And as you know, the new Milei administration took office last December and does appear quite committed to making macro and micro policy adjustments, although we have to say there's still ample uncertainty on how successful the new government will be in implementing the transformational change they had actually envisioned when they took office. Now, clearly, with the deepening recession and surging inflation, and Argentina still cut off from the international capital markets, the new government does have its work cut out for itself, and we know that political honeymoon doesn't really last forever. So with that, Todd, it would be good to start by taking stock of Milei's first 100 days. Can you talk a little bit about what the main accomplishments have been and also what the setbacks have been so far? It seems actually the markets are pretty upbeat, even though he's facing a lot of resistance in Congress. So what explains that disconnect?
Thanks, Shelley. Good to be here to talk about Argentina in what's shaping up to be a pretty pivotal year. So far, it hasn't really been completely smooth sailing for President Milei, but we do think he's off to a pretty good start. First of all, though, let's talk about the setbacks. Milei took office in December with a pretty strong mandate after his second round win, but he has some important political handicaps. He has little political experience. He's more of a celebrity economist than a real political power broker. His Avanza Libertad party has pretty small representation in Congress, and it controls none of the provincial governorships, which carry pretty important sway over politics at the national level. He has worked pretty hard to form some alliances within the legislature to overcome this handicap, but it's been a rocky road. A big omnibus bill that he proposed with numerous reforms and deregulations to the economy had to be heavily watered down to get any support. And then even after that, it ultimately failed. More recently, a separate executive decree he enacted shortly after taking office is at risk of being overturned. And all of this makes us pretty skeptical that he's going to be able to deliver the sorts of transformational reforms that he's long espoused. But on the other hand, he does seem to be making pretty good initial headway on a macroeconomic adjustment. This can be done in large part without Congress, and it's, you know, even better for Argentina than any individual reform, of course. He started off with a big 55% devaluation of the currency, which greatly improved competitiveness, and he's off to a really good start on fiscal adjustment. You know, even though a big part of his adjustment plans were tax hikes that ultimately didn't prosper in the omnibus bill that Congress blocked, you know, he's following through with some pretty dramatic cuts in spending. And in January and February, the fiscal balance rose to pretty significant surpluses. And he's making progress on cleaning up the central bank's balance sheet that's been greatly compromised by years of money printing. And he's delivered this big confidence shock. You know, there's been a big reduction in bond spreads and the gap between the official and parallel exchange rates. So the best upshot of all of this, in our opinion, is that there's been a pretty decent accumulation of foreign exchange reserves. The central bank has purchased around $11 billion so far. And yes, all of this is coming with an inevitable cost to the economy in terms of a deep recession and inflation. But remarkably, he's kept his approval ratings in line with his victory margin so far. So in short, it's still early days and never wise to extrapolate current trends too far into the future in Argentina. But we think there's good reasons for some initial optimism.
So, Todd, it does sound that Milei is off to a pretty good start, although more so with macroeconomic adjustments than microeconomic reforms. But is the hard part over or is it still yet to come? And how far can the administration really go with policy adjustments and how durable could they be?
So despite the success so far, I think it'd be wrong to say that the Band-Aid has been ripped off and that things are bound to get better and easier from here. They could get harder. On fiscal adjustment, the drivers behind the big improvement so far can't entirely be sustained, and I think some metaphors are useful here. Milei has long promised to take a chainsaw to wasteful public spending and that he'd focus on what he calls the caste rather than the broader population. And so far, this has meant big cuts in capital spending, transfers to provinces, and subsidies. But an even bigger part of the fiscal improvement so far has come from the blender. It's a metaphor that works a little better in Spanish, but it means that high inflation is liquefying spending or eroding it in real terms. And the thing that's been affected most by the blunder so far is pensions, which certainly does affect the average Argentine. So it's not a strategy that's going to work for much longer. Inflation's eventually going to fall and therefore scope to inflate away spending. And also, an initial consolidation measure was a hike in import taxes. It's interesting because it runs counter to Milei's anti-tax mantra, and he wants to get rid of capital controls eventually, and it's going to require him to get rid of this import tax. So, in other words, preserving these fiscal gains and increasing them is eventually going to require more durable, deliberate efforts. And of course, these are going to be politically and socially difficult. And then on monetary policy, what we've seen so far is also not sustainable. To the surprise of many, the central bank actually started off by cutting monetary policy rates as inflation soared and keeping capital controls. And this is intended as a sort of emergency short-term policy to allow the central bank to inflate away the big stock of debt that it has on its balance sheet, which is sort of hamstringing its policy flexibility. And it's a strategy that's risky, but just might work. But the risk is that, you know, keeping peso rates in deep negative territory in real terms, you know, if that happens for long, it's going to make it very hard to convince Argentines to want to hold pesos as opposed to dollars. And then on the exchange rate, the currency is back on a 2% a month crawling peg after the big initial devaluation. And it means that the competitiveness gains from the devaluation are vanishing pretty quickly. So this is the biggest source of uncertainty, is what's the exit strategy from this monetary policy? Will there be a new devaluation? When will capital controls go away? But despite all these question marks, you know, the market doesn't know the answer, but it's still pretty upbeat. It thinks the government will be able to sort these issues out eventually.
Now, looking at the near term for us, how do you see the policy adjustments impacting the economy in 2024? And what are the potential catalysts that could move things in the more positive direction or a more negative one?
So inevitably, this macro adjustment is coming with a big cost. The economy is in a deep recession. Inflation has skyrocketed to 280%. As a result of that, real incomes, pensions, and savings are getting decimated right now. And poverty was already at 40% and is bound to shoot up more. But the good news is that this pain now was to some degree inevitable, and it could be setting the foundations for a recovery later. We just don't know yet what kind, if it'll be V-shaped or a slower U-shape. Policies are going to need to remain tight, so they're not going to drive the recovery. But one variable that we don't know about that's hardest to predict is confidence. You know, if there's a positive confidence shock that's sustained, corporates could begin to invest again, banks could begin to lend again, and consumers might begin to spend again rather than trying to preserve or build up their precautionary buffers. So right now we project -3% real GDP growth this year. That's actually much worse if you net out the agricultural sector, which had a drought last year. So net of that base effect, it's a worse recession. But we admit there's a huge margin of error around this year's economic growth, given all these uncertainties. One big positive catalyst that we're looking at is the potential end of capital controls. You know, capital controls were put in place to restrict FX outflows, but in doing so, they also really discourage any inflows, namely inflows of foreign direct investment. And they also deprive the productive sector of needed FX and kind of asphyxiate their productive capacity over time. So the government's eager to get rid of capital controls, but hasn't done so yet. It's trying to build up a war chest of international reserves to be able to do so. But it might be able to do so more quickly if it's able to borrow a big stock of dollars as a backstop. And there's some speculation that that might come from a new IMF program. But this is all pretty uncertain right now. So we'll see. And it's the main thing we're watching. On the other hand, I think a negative catalyst could be any signs of social unrest or Javier Milei's popularity worsening. You know, that's all just going to make it harder and harder to achieve a fiscal adjustment, and it's going to weigh on this initial confidence boost that he's achieved so far.
And so far, it's interesting that we really haven't really talked about dollarization, which was perhaps Milei's most ambitious and controversial campaign pledge. So has that fallen by the wayside?
So it does seem like the dollarization pledge has been pushed to the side, at least for now, hasn't been formally ruled out. You know, there is a legitimate debate to be had around whether this is a good idea for Argentina eventually. On one hand, monetary policy and a currency can be a valuable asset for a country, but only when backed by good policies. Otherwise, they can be a big source of problems, too. So Milei, during the campaign, seemed to suggest that Argentina can't be trusted with its own currency, so it should instead apply this straitjacket of dollarization. We don't really pretend to have the right answer on this, but I think one thing we do feel more strongly about is that thinking of dollarization as a shortcut to economic stabilization would be risky. And that's mainly because the central bank doesn't have dollars right now. Dollarizing without dollars could mean some scary scenarios, converting the peso money supply into dollars at a really high conversion rate, which means a painful cut in the standard of living, or it could pose risk to financial stability if dollars leave the economy for imports or for capital flight, if people just think their dollars are safer abroad rather than domestically. So given those risks, we see the sidelining of this dollarization pledge as good news. It's a sign that Milei's pragmatic rather than dogmatic. And, you know, that's something that wasn't particularly obvious during the campaign.
And finally, Todd, what does all this mean for Argentina's ratings? Could you also remind listeners about what the current CCC rating actually means? And also under what scenarios you think Argentina can avoid a default or debt restructuring? And finally, what do you think could lead to future upgrades or downgrades of Argentina's ratings?
So Milei did make an initial payment on the dollar bonds in January, but it's going to get harder. The amounts coming due get bigger and bigger. They rise from $4.4 billion this year to $9.5 billion starting next year. And right now we have a double C rating for Argentina, which we assigned in the middle of last year. And it signals our view that a restructuring or default of some kind appears probable, not inevitable, but more likely than not, at least for now. So what would it take to change this view and upgrade Argentina? Probably two things. First and foremost, accumulation of international reserves. This is happening now, but it's happening in the context of a recession, which is dampening import demand and lingering import restrictions. So if Argentina can come out of recession, phase out import restrictions, and still keep accumulating reserves, only then is it going to be great news in our eyes and supportive of a strong upgrade. And then the other condition is recovery of market access. We don't think Argentina is going to be able to probably pay off its debt outright with reserves. It's probably going to need to refinance a good portion of it. And that means getting market access back. So far, there has been a big reduction in bond yields, not quite to levels that signal market access, but a big improvement. So getting there, maybe Milei can get there with further success on his policy adjustments, but it could require something more. It could require confidence on the part of the market that this new policy direction is here to stay and that Milei is building some consensus around it and that it can stand the test of the next election cycle. So if Milei can do that, he really will have achieved one of the big turnaround stories in the history of our sovereign portfolio. So we'll be watching closely to see if he can.
With that, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks a lot, Todd, for your insights. Thank you for listening. And more on Argentina, you can access our research on our website, FitchRatings.com. Thank you.